Hey guys, this is Austin Clem. I'm here with Corey Beck. We're finally doing our first recording for the Outside the Octagon podcast. We've been working on getting around to it for a while. We're still figuring a lot of things out today, so just bear with us. We're definitely still in the infancy stages of all this, but we really just wanted to get on, finally do one, and talk about who we are, what we want the show to become, just kind of chat it up a little bit today.
Yeah, so really where we want to go with this is we want to cover the lifestyle of fighters inside and outside the cage, what we're doing in training camps, what we do outside of training camps, the different aspects of training, whether it's the weight cut, diets.
Yeah, like you said, it won't always end up being about just about fighting. It'll be recreational, what we do outside of the cage as well, what we like to watch on TV, or just things we like to do outdoors a lot as well.
So what do you have planned for after this fight camp? I know generally a fight camp takes up a lot of your time and there's not much to do outside of training, but what are your plans after this fight camp?
I actually have a couple trips planned. In March, I'm going to end up going to Vegas with one of our friends, Dylan, hang out there for his birthday for a few days. Just take some time off and relax, finally catch up with some family. The fight camp definitely does take a toll. It takes a lot out, and it takes a lot of time away from family and friends, and I'm really just excited to kick back and relax and eat and leisurely train, as odd as that sounds, instead of doing 3, 4, 5 a day practices, just finally be able to relax and do a couple a day and just enjoy myself a little more.
Yeah, so after a hard fight camp like that, you think it's important to take some time away and kind of regather yourself before you get back into it?
I think before you hit another hard fight camp, yeah. I don't necessarily think it's important to necessarily just step back entirely because I love the sport and I love training all the time. But when you start cutting out the calories and dieting hard and cutting the water out, like I said, it takes a toll. So you don't want to always go full tilt. You have to take some time and relax and let your body recover because your body just can't handle going 100%.
Right, so
all the time.
Just staying consistent is important.
Absolutely,
but also letting your body recover after a fight. Mm. Really, it depends a lot on, you know, what happens in the fight. Sometimes you're more beat up than other times, and sometimes you feel like you could jump back into a fight the next day.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you fight. What do you like to do after your fight camps?
Oh, man, usually I take at least a couple days just to let my body recover. As you know, I'm not always the most technical fighter, so it's usually a brawl for me. And, sometimes I take a little damage, but that's the way it goes. Sometimes I feel like I could fight the next day, but I do think it's really important for our bodies to recover, especially, like, worrying about our brain health. I know, obviously, the refs have our best interest in mind, and they're supposed to protect us, and you know, it's not quite as bad as boxing and other things like that, but, you know, that's always a worry. So making sure we just take enough time off to, you know, heal our bodies before we jump back into things too hard. But like you said, leisurely training, it feels good to be able to go to the gym and have fun and train without the stresses of having a fight coming up.
Definitely. Yeah, after fight camps, I always try to find some long weekend getaway. I'll try to get away from everything. And I'll train while I'm out of town, yeah, but I like to go to the beach or go visit my friends down in Houston or go up to Kansas City, and I'll just take a few days and really just get away from everyday life. Do you ever take trips or anything like that?
Oh, my big thing is going hiking and stuff. I like to get out in nature. It helps me, you know, not only relax, but reflect on the fight, the training before, you know, win or lose, what I can improve, and different things like that. And I'm still staying active, so that's a really important thing.
For sure, yeah. How far out from fights do you start your camp, though?
Typically, I try to start at least 6 weeks out. You know, I'm planning on having one, maybe two more amateur fights and then hopefully turning pro. And when that happens, I'd like to be able to put in a full 8 week camp. Really, I'm just now starting to get back into things because, as you know, I just had a baby. He's 4.5 months old, and that changes your lifestyle a lot. But,
the model baby, actually.
Yeah. He just signed him up for an agency, and we're waiting to get him his first gig, but that's besides the point. So, yeah, really just getting back into training is my first step, making sure I'm in shape. And, you know, a lot of people go into a fight camp kind of out of shape, overweight, and that makes the fight camp hard. That makes the weight cut harder. So I like to kind of be in shape by the time I'm in a fight camp, be at a weight where I feel comfortable. So I'm training at the weight that, you know, my body expects to be when I get into the cage. So, you know, if I can take an 8-week camp and take a couple weeks to make sure that I'm kind of getting back in shape, and then take a full 6 weeks where I'm training hard multiple times a day, then that's ideal. But, you know, things always come up. You never know what's going to happen. So you got to kind of have the mindset that no matter what happens, you still got to get in the cage on fight night and fight. And I think as fighters, a big thing for us is, you know, we're willing to fight anytime, and we got to be confident in our skills no matter how we feel that day, because ultimately you're never going to step into the cage 100%. You know, you'll feel good, but sometimes you have nagging injuries. Sometimes you go through a hard weight cut. It really all depends, but in the end, you just got to fight. So speaking of fights, tell me about your fight camp.
I had a 6-week fight camp, started right after Christmas, but like you said, I'd already been watching what I was eating before Christmas and everything, but I really started taking it hard and taking it serious after Christmas. And so leading up to January 26th, which is this upcoming weekend, it was right at 6 weeks. And so every day it goes into it. So as of the 26th of December, I started running and I was lifting and I was practicing multiple times a day. I've really just been burning my body out now for about 6 weeks. And I mean, I'm tired. Like you said, there's always nagging things. There's always things that go on. I'm definitely ready to get the weight off though. The final weight, I'll have about 10 pounds to lose and sweat out in water, but he's nothing I don't think I can handle. He's a purple belt as well on the ground as far as jiu-jitsu goes. So we're both should be fairly level there. It's going to be definitely a chess match if it goes to the ground. And if it stands, I've really been working a lot on my striking lately. So I think I'm a lot more comfortable there than I have been. But he's also a boxing coach, so he's not going to be afraid to stand up as well. So it should be interesting. But I've had a pretty good camp. I prefer an 8-week camp because it just gives me a lot longer to prepare and watch video and really get my weight down, because I cut quite a bit of weight. But I've done it in 6 weeks, and I've been super strict about it, and I feel confident. I feel ready for it to happen.
Man, that's good. I'm glad you're feeling good. So I know your last fight, you came off a disappointing loss, didn't go the way you wanted it to go. Is there anything that you did differently this fight camp compared to the last one, or like change things up or anything like that?
Yeah, it was kind of like you said, coming off of fights, you feel like you can get in the next day and go at it. You feel like you can do short fight camps. And we had what we thought was a great opportunity. And so I took it on 9 days notice. I went up quite a bit in weight. And so biggest lesson from that fight is don't go up 20 pounds in 9 days. And so, but as far as full fight camps, no, there's not a whole lot. At 55, I feel like I'm pretty solid. I'm pretty tough. I'm a big 55er. There's not a lot of people who I feel like can keep up with my pace at 55. And if they can, I'm usually going to be stronger than them. So it just plays into my favor. But yeah, as far as doing things differently, I just won't. I'm just probably done fighting at 175. I think that.
So you're a pretty big 155er, especially considering you fought at 175. What do you usually walk around at?
If I'm absolutely not watching my weight, I get between 195 and 200, something like that. And so during fight camp, I try to work my way down to 167, 170, just kind of depending on if I have 6, 8 weeks, what I have, and how fast I have to expedite things down. But I'll cut the water out from, my goal is usually 167, where I want to cut the water.
So that's really the fight before the fight. The hardest part of the camp is getting that weight off. And, man, it sounds brutal. I know for me personally, I'm a smaller guy, so I can't cut as much weight considering it's a higher percentage of my overall body weight. But, you know, I walk around anywhere between 147 and 150, and I fight at 135. Try to diet down to at least 142 and then lose water after that. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, depending on how good the weight cut goes, but I can't imagine doing the cut that you do. I mean, just looking at you now, you look skinny. You still got some weight to go.
Yeah, well, when I fought in Memphis, I had a full, like, 8.5 week fight camp, so I was able to get all the way down to 164, and that, so I only had 8 pounds to cut, and that was a cakewalk of a cut. I only had to do two tub cuts, and then I was able to have everything else off. This time, I think it's going to take a little bit more, but again, I had two less weeks to do everything, 2.5 less weeks, so I'm not too worried. I usually recover. I mean, I come walking in the cage at 178 or so, so I put on 20-something pounds overnight usually. And so, like I said, I'm just bigger than everybody else. Most 55ers only balloon up to 164, 165.
So it sounds like that 24 hours between when you weigh in and when you actually fight is super important, not only for rehydrating and eating, but just your mindset also. So kind of walk me through, like, what is your go-to for hydration and food, and how do you really prepare for the fight?
After weigh-ins, as soon as weigh-ins are done, I put Pedialyte into my system, start replacing electrolytes, get sodium in my system. And I will try, my goal is always to drink 3 to 4 of those, depending how bad the weight cut was. I'll drink almost an entire case of water, and then I'll make protein drinks. And my go-to food after weigh-ins is spaghetti. I just carb up, and I try to eat 3 to 4 plates of spaghetti, actually. And I just stay off my legs and try to recover as much as possible. I try not to think after dinner, Friday night after weigh-ins, I try not to think about the fight too much, which is hard, of course, or someone trying to rip your head off. But I will, I'll try to stay at my dad's, or if I'm out of town, I just go lock myself in the hotel room, and I don't turn on the TV, really. And during dinner is my last time to really sit down and think about my game plan and go over my fight one last time, mentally just envision every scenario again and what I need to accomplish the next day. And then after that, I'm carefree. I don't think about if I don't have my fight planned down by 9 o'clock Friday night, I'm probably never going to have it down. I've had 6 to 8 weeks to do it. And so that's kind of my mindset. And so I'll go away and I just kind of, I don't necessarily hike, but my dad lives out in the middle of nowhere. So I'll sit on his deck and I just kind of hang outdoors. I know it's cold, so I'll just hang out in the house this time. But if I can, I'll hang outdoors, swing in a hammock, just really do everything in my power to completely relax and take my mind off the fight and the war that's ahead of me.
Yeah, I think that's important. You know, if you get too far up in your head, then, you know, it allows yourself to think too much and potentially make mistakes. And honestly, I think you can only game plan so much. And in the end, a fight never really goes the way that you expect it to.
I don't think I've ever had a fight that's went exactly how I thought it was going to.
Yeah, so you got to be able to get in there and adapt. I know with my last fight, I felt like I went in with too much of a game plan. And when things didn't go that way, I kind of didn't know what to do, and I stuck to the game plan, wasn't able to adapt, got caught, ended up losing. So I think really just being able to adapt in a fight is super important.
That surprised me, because you're actually one of the few guys that I feel like adapts to everything typically. I feel like that's one of my positives too. One of my biggest attributes is I can adapt on the fly. But I feel like as far as anyone in the gym, I always thought you were the best at adapting.
Yeah, really, I think I got caught up in my opponent. You know, he was a tough guy, trained at a good gym. You know, I watched some videos, but the thing about that is there's not, especially as an amateur, there's not always the best videos or the most videos, and he only had, you know, he didn't have that much time in the cage. You know, he was beating people quickly, so what I saw, I took away what I could, but I think I let that have too much weight in my game plan, and he didn't do what I thought he was going to do. I thought he was going to, you know, take me down, try to wrestle, and I was okay with that because I like being on the ground, but he wanted to stand, and that kind of threw me off. And really, I think the biggest reason I couldn't adapt in that fight was because he caught me early, and once he caught me with a hard two right down the middle, I never really was able to kind of get my wits back, and that I think that really affects your ability to adapt, because then you kind of just go into fight mode. You know, it's fight or flight. You're just trying to survive and make it through, and you know, your body goes back to what you've been training, and we trained so specifically for certain things that it kind of made it hard to adapt. But you know, that ultimately is just a lesson to be learned, and you know, you gotta train everything. That's a big thing about MMA is it's no longer about being the best striker, the best grappler. You got to be the best mixed martial artist. So with that, is there any, like, You know, I know you have a pretty good wrestling background. You're a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. You've been working on your striking. Do you try to train everything pretty evenly? Or, you know, tell me more specifically about your training during the week. Like, what classes do you do, private lessons, different things like that?
Yeah, I definitely do try to train everything. I train my striking 3 to 4 times a week. And then jiu-jitsu is 4 to 5 times a week. Just because our gym is so revolved around jiu-jitsu, it's easier for me to get those classes in. And so, but I also will add in my running and weightlifting. So there's just a lot that, there's a lot that goes into it, that it is a full-time job. It's hard to have a job when you're trying to do this, but you also have to find the right amount of time to recover as well. So it makes it tough to recover. So I try to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, I'm training basically all day, every day. Tuesday, Thursday, I train a couple times a day because that's when my body really has time to relax in between like Monday night into Tuesday evening when the practices start. And then Sundays, I'm usually completely off. I've started, when it gets closer to fights, I'll go cross train at some gyms here in Nixa or in Springfield, just whoever's having an open mat that day, I'll go train. But on average, I really don't train on Sundays. I try to just relax during those days.
Yeah, that's good. I know overtraining is a big issue, and
yeah,
a lot of times you feel like you want to keep working because you feel good, you feel the momentum, and sometimes you got to really make sure that you take a good day or two off to let your body recover. What do you specifically do to help your recovery?
I relax. I take Epsom salt baths. I use the hot tub a lot. I feel like that's soothing. One of my sponsors is a massage therapist, so I get massages from her weekly, and she really helps make sure that all my muscles stay loose. And so just between really rolling out, eating correctly, using the hot tub and relaxing, it just, my body feels a lot better, because there was a time where I was getting injured a lot and I wasn't always eating right and I was overtraining. And so but lately, I mean, the past year or so, I've been phenomenal as far as injuries. I haven't taken as much. I don't take as much damage anymore because I'm smart about things. But for a while, like you said, overtraining can damn near kill you. It's brutal.
Yeah, so you use the hot tub. Do you ever do anything with cold therapy, whether it's cold showers, ice baths, you know, gosh, it's cold outside, you go stand outside for a couple minutes. What do you think about that?
I actually used to do that in high school. I don't know why I don't anymore, but typically, no, I don't. But I used to take ice baths in high school. You take the ice bath, and then like 30 minutes later, you can take your regular shower. And I used to do that, and I do remember that helped a lot, but I don't really use that anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable, man, but I know one thing.
You're big on ice baths and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. I try to take cold showers every morning. You know, it. I don't actually get in and shower. I get in and turn the water as cold as it gets and stand under there for a minute or two. I just think it really helps my circulation. It helps wake me up and different things like that. I wish, honestly, that I could just have a pool in my backyard and just totally go back there and jump in.
Yeah.
I know. Sometimes when I'm out backpacking, especially up in the mountains when it's cold, jumping in an ice-cold river feels great. I know it sounds crazy, but
I bet that's phenomenal.
Cold therapy really does something, not only for your body, but for your mindset. When you can be comfortable being uncomfortable, I think that's when you can really take things to the next level.
Outside of your ice baths and everything, do you do anything else for recovery?
I'm a big proponent of CBD oil. I think it's great for, you know, reducing inflammation, helping with pain, especially as a fighter. You know, we go in, we punch, kick, choke, everything else like that. And, you know, on an everyday basis, there's always kind of something that is not necessarily an injury, but just kind of a little bit hurting. And the CBD oil really helps with that, whether you want to eat it as gummies or take it as an oil or whatever. There's so many methods that you can use.
And I have a CBD, one of the vape pens.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like they help a lot.
Yeah, I really like that. Especially when you vape it, it's more bioavailable and you get it instantly. So that's a really great way. I actually just got a Theragun, one of those percussion massagers.
I've used one of those. Those are incredible.
Yeah, it really helps because, you know, sometimes it's not only is it expensive to get massages, but it's hard to get in there and get it done, and mm-hmm. especially to find like a good massage therapist that you like. So yeah. now I have the Theragun. It's easy. I can use it whenever, wherever. And that's really been helping me make sure I stay loose and, you know, I don't stretch near as much as I should, but that definitely helps me recover
yeah.
after, you know, tough days of practices and whatnot.
I know we were talking earlier and you said the main thing that you just need to get back in the gym and get consistent again. Do you have any timeline, like when you would like to have your next fight by?
Been talking, I think. I'd like to fight in April. There's another Walkout FC show that me and Brad have been talking about me getting on. I don't think anything's set in stone, but that's kind of where I'm looking at.
I think I might be on that card. As long as I don't get injured, knock on wood, for this next weekend, I think I want to fight on that card too.
Yeah, really. I've been training, just not super consistent. Like I said, yeah. I just had a baby. I moved back from Springfield to St. Louis this year. And so this year's just kind of been a big change for me, and it's definitely disrupted my training overall. But sometimes I think taking a step back kind of helps. I know that overall skill-wise, it hasn't benefited me, but mentally, I think it helps. You know, I went through a couple hard fight camps. I was dealing with a mm-hmm. lot of injuries, and that was really a big thing. I took some time off for those injuries specifically, and you know, once you take some time off like that, it's just hard getting back into it, and it's been it, mm-hmm. and that's really it. You know, it's been hard for me to get back into my routine, and then you add in all the changes, and it just adds extra stressors and whatnot. But yeah, I'm trying to get back into things, and especially with a you know potential fight on the horizon, you know. It makes it easier to yeah. focus, be disciplined, and things like that. I still try to eat healthy, though, and, you know, I don't let myself...
That's incredible to me. I don't eat healthy at all.
Balloon up after fights, man. That's the that's one thing I hate is just being fat and then going into a fight camp. You know, I'm a little guy, so I got to use my speed mm-hmm. and my agility and whatnot, and when I'm fat, I can't do that. So, yeah, it's... just really getting back into things and getting consistent. But a big problem I have is not jumping back in too hard, you know, because mm-hmm. then I want to train hard and I want to train just as much as I was when I was in fight camps, but I know my body can't handle that. So it's really easing back into things is the most important thing right now. Make sure I'm focusing That's on recovery tough. And just getting back into the swing of things, man.
Right on. Yeah, that is tough. After the injuries that I've had, I always do just want to jump right back in. I think that's one of the reasons I was probably getting re-injured over and over again, to be honest.
Yeah, so I know you had a pretty successful 2018. Mm-hmm. What are you looking at for 2019? I know you got a fight this Saturday, but I know, and then in April you're talking about fighting then. Is there any big accomplishments you want to see in 2019?
Yeah, as far as 2019, I actually, of course, I'd like to be undefeated in the cage. That's, of course, the goal. Maybe get a fight on a big show somewhere, but I'd also like to medal at Worlds. I'm going to go compete at the World Tournament as a purple belt, and so after the April show, I'll turn all my focus into jiu-jitsu, which the tournament's at the end of May, so it'll give me a month and a half, basically jiu-jitsu camp. It's not a fight camp because I'm not getting punched in the face, but nonetheless, it is a fight, basically, to go out there, and so I'd like to at least medal there. Goal's to win it, but if I could medal, I'd be pretty content with being one of the top three in the world. So
yeah, man, you just got your purple belt,
yep.
And I think that's tough. I think at purple belt, there's a huge range of skills, you know?
Definitely.
So it's kind of hard to know what to expect, especially on a big stage, and mm-hmm. I know I personally have never competed in jiu-jitsu. I've just done MMA. I'm a purple belt as well, so that kind of sounds crazy. But I'd like to make my way out to California and compete at Worlds with you.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Sounds crazy to me to jump right into competing as a purple belt, but hey.
I didn't compete till the... I guess I was a blue when I competed for the first time out in Long Beach, actually, where the World Tournament's going to be again. But this was just a regular IBJJF tournament when I competed out there.
Yeah, but, you know, I was awarded my purple belt by, you know, awesome coaches, and if they think I have what it takes to be a purple belt, then I think that too. And mm-hmm. I think up against anyone, I have that mindset and competitive edge to really go out there and compete. And obviously, like you said, we're going out to win. Can't settle for anything yeah. less. But, you know, taking the trip in and of itself is going to be fun, especially with some teammates and whatnot.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I think going out there and meddling and then hanging out on the beach and drinking some beer for a few days sounds like a pretty good vacation to me.
Yeah, it doesn't really get much better than that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so really, that's all we got for today.
Yeah, you know, I think we covered everything.
We're still working out the kinks, so like Clem said earlier, bear with us. But we have more content on the way, and we'd like to be consistent with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't forget, Clem's fighting this weekend, January 26th, for Walkout FC, his third professional fight. I know he's always trying to get people out, and if you can't make it out there, you can buy a pay-per-view for it.
Yeah, there's an app or a website. It's called Fight, F-I-T-E, and I believe it's $14.99 for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, so again, we really just want to cover everything inside and outside of the fight game, like fighters' lifestyles, and we plan on having guests in the future, but for now, we're out.
Yeah, go give us a follow on our Instagram and our Facebook pages. It's just at Outside the Octagon, and then I believe there's an underscore after that on Instagram, and then just search Outside the Octagon on Facebook and give us a follow.
And if you're already following me or Clem, you can go to our bios, and our Instagram handle for Outside the Octagon is there. Give us a follow. We'll be posting content on there consistently, and we'll have more podcasts coming in the future.
For sure.